6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I was the priest on Manitoulin, I did a lot of driving, and hence I listened to a lot of radio. I know every program on the CBC. Last year, one of the big topics of conversation, because of all the events going on in the world, was the refugee and migrant crisis. This made for interesting radio, as I would hear many fascinating stories of people's journeys trying to make it from one country to another. As I was driving around one day, I heard this story about a man from Africa who had made it as far as the border of the United States and Mexico, and they were asking him questions about the route he took and how he came to get there. It was a very interesting story. The man, his wife, and his newborn baby flew from the country of Somalia to Brazil, and from there, he said, you make your way up through South and Central America by bus and by walking. The way you find your way around and the way and that you know you're going the correct way is that you pay local human smugglers lots of money in order to lead you down the right path. Now, there is one part of the journey, he said, where you must absolutely pay a human smuggler to lead you, and that is a week-long trek through the jungles and mountains of South and Central America. How it works, according to this man, is that you and other refugees and migrants pool all your money together so that you have enough to pay the smugglers to lead you through the jungles and mountains. Without this, there is no way that you would make it by yourself. According to this man, you would get utterly lost. The man even talked about passing dead bodies on the path in the jungle of people who had tried to make the trek without a guide. This man, his wife, and his child did what they were told to do. They pooled the little money that they had with other refugees and migrants to pay some smugglers to bring them through the jungles and the mountains. So they set off on this very dangerous journey through the jungles and the mountains with this group of people that they had never met. But there was one problem. Because they had this small baby, they were not able to keep up with the rest of the group moving through the mountains. As you can probably imagine, these human smugglers are not people who are just trying to help out fellow human beings in their time of need, but rather they are trying to make a quick buck off of the misfortunes of others. So halfway through the journey, in the middle of the mountains, they just left this man, his wife, and the baby because they could not keep up. Now they were in the middle of the mountains, completely lost in a foreign country, no food and no hope for survival. The interviewer then said to the man, "What did you do?" And the answer was very surprising to me, as I had heard many of these stories at this point, and I knew that some way they would make it down the mountain. But this answer caught my attention, because the man said he walked around the mountain for a little bit, and then he encountered Jesus Christ. He went on to say that he prayed to Jesus on that mountain, that if he would show him the way through the mountain, he would be his follower for the rest of his life. On that mountain, the man who was a Muslim accepted Christ and became a member of the Christian faith. The man and his wife and his child eventually made it through the mountains miraculously, and they were now at the U.S.-Mexico border. What is so fascinating and interesting about this story is that this man encounters God on a mountain. And this is so interesting because from the earliest of days, as attested by narratives in Scripture, human beings have encountered God on the mountain, and they have become life-changing events, changing one's whole future. Mountains in the Judeo-Christian tradition have always been seen as holy, the place where God dwells and the place where one goes to seek and encounter God, almost like the place where the heavens and the earth meet. We see this theme of mountains throughout the scriptures. For example, Moses encounters God on the mountain. The law, the whole foundation of ancient Israel and our present society, is begun and started by Moses encountering God on the mountain. In our first reading this morning, we hear about the prophet Elijah. He too, in his life, encounters God in a cave on the mountain. Perhaps most importantly is our reading from St. Mark today, where we read about Jesus being transfigured, revealed for who he really is, and God does this work again, high up on a mountain. We have this narrative from Mark of Jesus being transfigured before the disciples, Peter, James, and John. Jesus, the narrative tells us, takes them up a high mountain, and the text tells us that he was transfigured before them. His clothes become dazzling white, so much so that no one on earth could make them that white, and his face shines like the sun. Then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus, Moses being the symbol of the law, and Elijah being the symbol of the prophets. Then all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John hear a loud voice from heaven which says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And then just as quickly as all these miraculous events happened, they end. Jesus is back to normal. Moses and Elijah disappear. Jesus then orders Peter, James, and John to tell no one what they have seen until after he has been raised from the dead. This event would change the disciples' future and mission to which they felt called. It would change our future. We can see from the Gospel of St. Mark that encountering God on the mountain changes everything for the disciples, just like it did for the man and his family on the mountain in Central America. Since encountering God on the mountain, their lives will never be the same. They have been given the gift of encountering Jesus Christ and seeing him for who he really is, the Son of God. The transfiguration on the mountain is an encounter of Jesus where Jesus is shown not only to be the messenger of salvation, but salvation itself. He is God. Jesus is on the mountain with Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. Jesus is the promised one to come, who is talked about through the rest of Scripture. Jesus is the fulfillment of the longing of the people of Israel, in fact, the longing of the people of the whole world. We talk about the transfiguration as if it is about the future, about changing the future, for one who sees the transfigured Jesus gets a glimpse of the resurrected life, gets to see Jesus in his full glory. We, as the followers of Christ, must strive to be clothed with Christ in our lives. We must appear dazzling white, as Jesus did in the narratives presented to us. We, as Christians, when we encounter God, should be striving to change to his glory. The collect that we read for today goes as follows. Almighty God, on the holy mount you revealed to your chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured. Mercifully deliver us from the darkness of this world and change us into his likeness from glory to glory. That should be our prayer and our future when we encounter God. Wherever we encounter Jesus, on a mountain or wherever that may be, we will all have moments in our lives where we feel God's presence, where we feel that we have encountered Christ. And if we have encountered Christ, it should change us. It should change our future. We should strive to take on some of his glory to serve this broken world. Encountering God is a powerful thing, whether it be in the church, in the scriptures, in the sacraments, on a mountain, or anywhere else. But it is a gift. The encounter is a gift. It is a gift that we share amongst ourselves as Christians, as believers, and it is a gift that we are called to share with the whole world. I will end today with the words of St. Leo the Great when he talks about the Transfiguration. He says, "The Lord reveals his glory in the presence of chosen witnesses. His body is like that of the rest of the human race, but he makes it shine with such splendor that his face becomes like the sun in glory, and his garments as white as snow." The great reason for this transfiguration, he says, was to remove the scandal of the cross from the hearts of his disciples, and to prevent the humiliation of his voluntary suffering from disturbing the faith of those who witnessed the surpassing glory that lay concealed. With no less forethought, he was also providing a firm foundation and hope and gift for the church. The whole body of Christ was to understand what kind of transformation that it would receive as his gift. the members of that body were to look forward to share in that gift, in that glory that blazed from Christ. As Christians, we all share in the gift. We have all had some encounter with Christ, or we would not be here today. And so we are called to take that gift, that glory, and go share it with the rest of the world. Amen.